call this meeting back to order. We've reached agenda item 6, technical WAC amendments and repeal, round 6, structural improvements and update. This is a decision. Is it round 6 already?
Well, yeah, but we're going to backpedal to round 5 on the next agenda item, so because that one took a little bit longer to get to. But yes, this is round 6 already.
We've just been making great, steady progress.
Trying to. It's been a long 2 years, so. Anyhow, thank you, Chair Wecker. Commissioners, Director Anderson, for the record, my name is Joanna Eide. I'm the Administrative Regulations Analyst in the Enforcement Program. And today I'm here to request adoption of the rule amendments and repeals contained in the WAC overhaul technical amendments and repeal in Rule Batch 6, which I briefed the Commission on last month during the October Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. The rules are generally the same as presented to the Commission at the Commission's October meeting. However, there have been a few minor changes, and I'll go through both of those right now. First, as mentioned in the summary sheet for this item, the Department is withdrawing the proposed amendments to WAC 2256-112, sampling data and tag recovery, and the repeal of WAC 232-12-082, collection of sampling data, unlawful acts. The draft motion language reflects this withdrawal, though the rules are still in your notebooks because technically they're all still part of the 102 filing, but we will be withdrawing those before we file a CR-103 if the rest of the rule package is adopted. The reasoning for withdrawing these two WACs from the project is so that we can accomplish a more comprehensive rewrite of these two. We may want to include a couple other different rules or provisions with this particular melding together of WACs. So, and since that will likely happen after the WAC reorganization and renumbering is complete, I'm going to leave the needed flexibility within the numbering system so that we can accomplish that without any, you know, bad consequences. The second change is the item that Tammy just handed out to you all, and the department is proposing a floor amendment to WAC 2247-121, Treaty Indian Gear Identification. So first, I want to address at the last meeting there were some questions about what our authority was for even having this rule to begin with. And so I worked with the Attorney General's Office Senior Counsel Mike Grossman and on the question of authority. And the authority is given through the U.S. v. Washington Bolt decision. Specifically, the authority appears on page 412 of that order from 1974. And I have a copy of that citation if you would like it as well. Secondly, so actually addressing what you have in front of you, Mike Grossman suggested some additional changes to the rule that are incorporated in color in the handout that I brought with me. That's in front of you. And I'd like to propose a floor amendment to adopt these changes and have incorporated motion language that affect in the second. Well, we were going to have a second handout, but I think the motion language we've got in the summary sheet is going to cover this just fine, so we don't need to worry about that. Otherwise, the rules are exactly how they were presented to you last month, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have at this time.
So quick and succinct. Any questions? I think it's all fairly straightforward.
Thanks. Joanna, I have a question on 2247-121. My first question, has this language been vetted at all with any of the tribal policy folks?
Because these changes are merely technical, these regulations are already on the books. We didn't feel that it was necessary to go down that road because there isn't any substantive changes within this. We are merely incorporating two rules together that were already on the books regulatory-wise. So essentially, we're cleaning it up to where there's only one instead of having two.
So maybe I could ask Deputy Chief Sensi a question then. If you encounter unattended gear that has been deployed by a tribal member and it's not within their adjudicated usual custom grounds and stations, would you, what would you do? Would you assume it's subject to state law? Tell me what you'd do in that case.
If I heard you correctly, this would be gear fishing outside of the UNA?
Of the adjudicated.
Adjudicated.
UNA. Let me just, so I don't, I'm not trying to trick you, but let me just take, we have a western boundary case. In the briefings from Quileute and Quinault, they say they do not have an adjudicated UNA that extends beyond 3 miles. They say they have a negotiated UNA that's outside 3 miles that goes out to 12544 with the federal government. So my question is, if you encounter a crab pot that's been deployed by the Quinault fisher that's 4 miles offshore, would that individual, and it wasn't properly identified as specified in the WAC, what do you do?
Well, the one thing I've learned in my career is that policies could be more constraining than state law, and being familiar with that particular issue, you'd be the first one I called before I took any action. You have to have some kind of basic construct, but I think we're also aware that in natural resource policing, there's sometimes exceptions to the rule. And so we tread pretty carefully with respect to enforcement that involves tribal members.
Okay. Thanks.
Adopt the amendments to 220-56-315, 220-47-001, and 220-47-121, and repeal Chapter 220-85 WAC and WAC 220-28-010 and 232-12-099 as proposed by the department.
The motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Schmitten to adopt the amendments to 220-56-315, 220-47-001, and 220-47-121, and repeal Chapter 220-85 WAC, WAC 220-28-010, and 232-12-099 as proposed by the department, including floor amendments. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Motion carries.